The video assistant referee, or VAR. Is it VAR or VAR? VAR? VAR. You can tell I don't know football. For short, the debate rages on.
The referee decided it was a dive. It went to VAR. They looked at it. They backed the referee up.
You're seeing why I was very doubtful about it, and now it's a shambles. And we all think that is clear and obvious penalty. And he even books him for diving. Who on earth is looking at that screen at Stockley Park and doesn't think that's a penalty? Now, that's why it's all wrong, because it's someone else's opinion. And as I said, that's why it's a shambles.
See, I think the man in that did call it VAR, VAR. What did he say? He said VAR. You see, I'm not sure if I'm right or not. Gary Lineker, you'd think he would know. The new system, which was trialled for the English game in the most recent round of FA Cup fixtures, has been blasted by managers, fans and pundits. Fleetwood Town boss Uwe Rosler said this week about VAR, "Don't complicate the game. The game is beautiful as it is." He was speaking after history was made with a goal against his team awarded thanks to VAR or VAR in the FA Cup by Leicester. 0-30-30-80-55-55. Do you think, will it really work for football? It's been quite successfully used for quite a while in the likes of rugby and other sports. Sun football writer Mark McIntosh is with us. Good morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Willie.
And the Five Live pundit and former Everton, Chelsea and Scotland star Pat Nevin. Good morning to you, Pat.
Good morning.
What do you reckon, Pat? It's something that people were being quite critical of before it even got kicked off. Is it ever going to work in football?
Well, number one, remember, this is a trial. This isn't the final system. This is a trial. And I think it's an absolute stick-on. It will work once you get it working. And it will work vast majority of the time. It will work very well. You can't go back because you're getting more decisions right than you were before. So are you going to go from a position of getting lots of decisions right that you used to get and then suddenly think, nah, we'll just go back and we'll make it more, you know, impossible for the fans to expect a reality and honesty, the correct decisions. I heard a comment there which I thought was quite interesting. They say the game is beautiful now. I'm not convinced by that. I think the diving that's coming into the game has made it less beautiful. One of the great things about VAR, I'm going to call it VAR, one of the great things about it is if you can look back at the dives, it will stop people diving. One of the great benefits of VAR is that. But the biggest benefit for me is quite simple. As an ex-player, I could spend my entire career working, and this is from the age of four, learning to be a footballer, all the way through, and get to the most important game. Now, it might be for the Republic of Ireland against France with Thierry Henry. It might be for Northern Ireland when they're in the qualifier. And then suddenly, because of a mistake that could easily be seen, my entire career is wrecked for what it was aiming for. I think that's unfair, and I don't like unfairness.
Well, Mark McIntosh, there's also, I think maybe this is just me with my not a great football head, in terms of how it actually works. For example, there was a Chelsea match the other day where someone was, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, booked for diving in, when it was actually a penalty. But the issue wasn't necessarily what the referee saw on the pitch, it was what the VAR ref saw, who was miles away in London.
Yeah, exactly. As Pat says, this is a trial, so there are going to be issues, but I'm still not convinced by it at all, because it is someone else's opinion. And in one of the clips you played there, Alan Shearer was talking about that. It's different when it's goal line technology, because it's either black or white. The ball's either over the line or it isn't. That's just a matter of fact. Whereas things now, you know, VAR can be used in awarding goals, penalty decisions, red card decisions in cases of mistaken identity. And the William incident that you were talking about, it's just someone else's opinion whether it was a dive or not. So it's not a matter of fact.
And when you saw that footage, did you think it was a dive or was it a tackle that warranted a penalty?
At the time, you know, when it looks like a dive, you know, this is all part of the game, though. You know, it can look like a dive, and maybe sometimes referees now are programmed to think that things are dives because, as Pat says, it's crept into the game far, far too much. But when the video assistant referees aren't given the same footage as we're seeing on TV as well at the moment, then that's always going to be an issue. You know, we get to see super slow-mos, and the technology doesn't allow them to do that just yet either. So there are a lot of things that need to be ironed out, and at this moment in time, I think we're still going to have lots and lots of issues that they're just going to be wrong. And, you know, footballers have tried things. You know, they brought in additional assistants behind the goal a few years back for the likes of Champions League games and Europa League games. But I don't remember any time that one of those assistants actually gave a decision. And there were loads of times that looked like there were obvious penalties, and they didn't do anything. So, you know, sometimes I think they're just trying to justify things or trying to bring things in just to appease people.
Yes, but of course, things like goal line technology, that worked quite well. I want to bring in Pat back in at this point. Do you think there's any relevance or any importance when it comes to the fact the person that is reviewing the footage isn't actually on the grounds? I know when you have the likes of rugby, most of the time they are there. It's what a television match official, TMO and partly it's called. They are pretty much on the grounds. Does that make any difference, Pat?
No, I think you made a great point there about the William thing particularly. That's incompetence. That's all that is. And the fact that I was watching what footage they were getting, and I agree completely, the footage they get was awful, absolutely dreadful. Now, the system has to be worked much better so that they do get these angles correctly. Now, whether they are at the ground or whether they are at some remote place, it kind of doesn't matter as long as you get the correct, you know, yeah.
You'd assume they would get multiple angles. Well, and they would get high
that,
def
but
images.
Sadly, you assume wrong, and so did I. It has to be said, and we are in agreement with this that, you know, a couple of things. That's incompetence, and you need to be able to iron out that incompetence. And I'm not going to argue against that because that's unarguable. That was definitely a penalty kick. They got it wrong, and any pro could tell you, any fan could tell you, and how they could possibly get that wrong is absolutely ridiculous. However, that's the sort of thing that they need to get rid of. Can I give you a silly thought piece in this, and just tell me the answer to this, because I don't know it. You're an alien and you've come down from another planet and you see that everybody's watching the World Cup. It's taken about 1,000 games to get to that cup final. The entire planet's watching. There's been billions of pounds spent on it. Thousands and thousands of, or millions of fans, everybody watching it. And do you know the one person they allow to make the big decision is the one person on this little planet who can't see it. We can all see it. We can all see it in the telly. Everybody in the ground can actually see it in their smartphones. They've all got the information. And with us in this silly little planet have decided, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to let the one guy who can't see it make the decisions. It's mental. It's nonsense.
Mark, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I see where Pat's coming from. But again, it's a lot of these incidents are going to be someone else's opinion. And when a referee makes a mistake, you're going to hand it to another referee and his assistant, and again, it's just one of their opinions.
Can I just jump in for a second? Just for a second. You're absolutely right. You make the point perfectly. However, it's not supposed to be for subjective calls. If it's a subjective call, it's the referee's call. Give it back to him, and that's fine. You move on.
Okay.
It's for very, very clear decisions. Okay.
Well, Mark, do you think that it disrupts the flow of the game? Does it slow it down? So that stop-start nature, are we going to be in danger of it being a bit like rugby or indeed American football? And then you've got to think about the injury time that this will all add on to games.
Yeah, I think it's only natural. It probably will slow it down a little bit. I don't think it'll be as bad as maybe a lot of people want to say or a lot of people thought beforehand. And I think we've seen from some of the early trials, even in the likes of the Confederations Cup, that it won't be as bad as that. But, you know, I'm still not a massive fan. I totally understand, because of the money involved in football now, why lots of different technology is being talked about. But I'm still not a fan. I think the goal line technology is bang on. That has to be there. But I'm still to be convinced in the VAR.
Can I comment off with that and agree to some degree that when I was at the Chelsea game the previous, they did it in the Norwich game, they did it the Arsenal game before that, and I was at the Arsenal game, and it worked absolutely perfectly. Except for one thing, for all the fans in the ground who didn't know what on earth was going on. So all they had to do is two things. One thing, they could have put a big sign up on the boards, you know, the video boards, saying this, and the VAR is in operation, and everyone would know what's going on. Or more importantly, or what will happen, and I'm 100% sure about this, they will show it in those big boards and we'll be able to see it. And that will add to the excitement. Again, you'll get the good decisions made, you'll get more good decisions made, and it'll actually be exciting to watch it.
Okay,
so they're a bit slow in getting that off the ground, but hey, it's a trial.
Let's go to the phones. Well, I'll come back to you in a second, Mark. I want to go to Geordie in Ballymena. Good morning to you, Geordie.
Morning.
What do you reckon?
Why has he supposed to be so far away from the ground? You have rugby and all that, all these VAR, whatever you call them, is on the ground. Why so far away?
But what difference does that make, Geordie, if you can see, if that person can see, like if he had, say, multiple angle, high def footage that he could see, which obviously we're saying there's not always a case, but it doesn't matter if he is in the middle of the pitch or if he's in China.
Not really, but what if there's a bad connection or something happens? No, that way, at least if he's in the ground, if there's anything happens, it's always there.
Can I give a quick answer to that?
Yes,
I
mean, Pat.
I've worked in television for about 20 years now, and quite often for some of the companies I worked for, I was in the trucks outside doing the analysis out there. Now, the truck's just sitting at the back of the ground. I had every angle imaginable, and I had it at my fingertips, and I could get it within seconds. So you're right. You know, it can be anywhere. The truck outside the ground is pretty good because usually they've got a feed there, and also they've got a quick backup as well. So there's generally, there's an easy way around it, and I'm quite stunned. I wish they would have asked me because I've worked in every area. I'm not saying I'm all-knowing, but I've worked in every area of this, and I think I could have said to him, don't do it from a distant place. The trucks are out the back there, be it Sky, be it BBC, whatever, they're there.
Okay, before you go, Pat, what do you reckon, Michael O'Neill, the Scotland job, will he take it?
It must be a big temptation. Obviously, financially, it's a big one for him, you know, and he's, how much more can he do for Northern Ireland? It's been absolutely phenomenal. It's a tough one. His heart's probably staying, stay where he is, because it's been so fabulous for him. But there must be a bit of his head that's saying, well, look, I've got a bigger group of players I can pick from. The money's better, you have to say that. And you know what the
managers...
Would he
have a better squad here?
I think there's probably more players to pick for in the longer term. You know, and I'm not going to say for a moment that Scotland are better than Northern Ireland, because hey, we ain't much better than anybody at the moment. And certainly the heart and soul that's shown by the Northern Irish team. Right. But it must be a great temptation for
him. Pat Nevin, thank you. Same question to you, Mark. Do you think he will take it?
I don't think Michael knows right now, to be honest. I think it's a job that definitely tempts him.
The clock is ticking, though. He doesn't have that much time, does he?
No, he doesn't, but, you know, he holds all the cards here as well. You know, both nations desperately want him, so it's going to be decided when he decides it. I think the fact that he met the Scottish FA, that proves that it is a job that intrigues him. It ticks every box for him. But
okay.
I know for a fact he loves the Northern Ireland job he's in. He goes to great lengths to tell people, you know, everyone's always trying to put me into a different job, but I like the one I'm doing. But
okay.
Michael's an ambitious man, and the sad reality of all of this is if Michael was to achieve with Scotland what he's achieved with Northern Ireland, all of a sudden that would be taken seriously, and there would be a list of clubs looking for him, because the reality right now is that he isn't on the radar of a lot of these clubs, the likes of Stoke City, who appointed Paul Lambert recently. Whereas if he took that Scotland job and had even partial success like he's had with Northern Ireland, then it would be taken seriously.
Okay, Mark McIntosh, thank you very much, and again thanks to Pat.